And they kind of looked at me and they said the answer was alcohol.
Tom Caulfield, James Whittle.
This is the story of The Tempest 2.
So, ladies and gentlemen, The Tempest 2.
Hello, welcome back to The Tempest 2 podcast with me, James Whittle, and you,
Thomas Oliver Caulfield.
Oh, middle named it.
Esquire. Welcome to the marathon episode.
Oh, bum, bum, bum.
Today is Tuesday. That's when we're recording this. So it's been little over 48 hours since you took to the streets of the capital, London, and laid your soul bare for hundreds of thousands of cheering spectators to see. You have taken on what many consider a life goal, what many set out to achieve but do not accomplish. Congratulations.
Thanks very much. It was a epic day.
Okay. I know you're going to be all like rosy and like, it was an amazing experience, but we're going to dig into what really happened.
Yeah, I think we need to. I think we need to cover the reality of marathons.
Because your text messages after it didn't didn't really convey that epic, lovely, brilliant day. It was a slightly different feeling, a different set of emotions that was hitting my inbox.
Yeah.
So, purpose of today's episode is to really dig into what it is like to run a marathon. We won't go into the details that everyone knows, the distances and shit like that.
Yeah, everyone
is aware of that.
Yeah.
But what's going through your head, you know, the moments that stood out, what you got right, what you got wrong, what you do differently, how it compares to when you shat your pants in Amsterdam.
Hey, it was not in my pants.
Okay. How many marathons have you done now?
That was my third.
Third makes you a nerd.
Yeah, it does. Makes me a running nerd.
You're a running nerd now.
But I've only run one of those under my own name.
Like it.
And that was Amsterdam, the one that's easier to get into.
The one where you pooed to be done.
So I've done London twice, both kind of as cover or filling in for someone who's dropped out with an injury, which is, you know, an excuse. The annoying thing is... the fastest time was the first time I did it. So I've actually got worse. Every time I've done it, I've got slower.
Why is that?
That's a great question.
So Were you running a fair bit around that time?
No, I think the simple answer is I had like no expectations. I was like running to get round the first time.
Right.
And like taking it all in. So I basically ran the same speed the entire time. And then Amsterdam was my second marathon. I ran way too fast.
Mm-hmm.
And
you ate weird stuff the day before. Well, weird stuff being pasta.
Yeah, I ate completely normal food for most people. But I have Zlatan IBS Rivich, which I've kind of found out at Amsterdam. Found out the hard way. But I ran like way too fast in the first half of that, but banked enough time that... So I did the first... London Marathon, 3 hours and 25 minutes.
That was your first one?
That was my first one.
Very quick.
And then I did Amsterdam Marathon. I did the first, I was on for a 3:10 or something. And then, as you rightly said, things went downhill. And I ended with a 3:35, 3:34, something like that. And then Sunday, a 3:38.
Hey,
so I've been running more
and getting
slower, which is weird.
But you're taking it all in.
Yeah.
You're out there for longer, you're suffering more.
Yeah, exactly. I'm getting the...
slower is amazing.
Amazing, isn't it? I'm getting my money's worth that I'm not paying.
Good for your AMCC. It's absolutely the size of a watermelon.
Yeah.
Could barely get your hat on your head.
It's a weird one. But I think, the reason, in short, is that I'm terrible at pacing. So I think that's why I have done more training. So then I have more expectations that I'll run faster and then I blow up.
Yeah.
London's, it's just lined. There's so many people on the streets cheering you on. It just gets in your head a bit.
Gives you that unwanted adrenaline.
Exactly. Almost. Exactly. And they all say, you know, the first half marathon, the first 18 miles or whatever should be easy. And then it like then it gets hard.
Right, before we get into that, I want to rewind to Saturday.
Yep.
So obviously rest day Saturday, you had to go pick up a pack. Oh, that was on Friday. You had to go and pick up a pack from Excel, yep. Which is I fucking blows my mind, by the way, that you have to go to Excel to pick up your bib.
It's not the worst place in the world.
Ridiculous. So Saturday, what's your pre-game meal? What's your nightly routine heading into that? What time's your alarm set for? Is Florrie sleeping in the shed? Like, what's the prep looking like?
Yeah, good question. So, you know, just to go back to Amsterdam, completely messed that up. So I took it a bit more seriously this time.
Okay.
So what you're supposed to do is you practice all of your, what you do on the marathon day before and the marathon morning, you practice with your long runs in the weeks leading up to it.
Okay.
So that you're used to it. So, you know, I knew I was going to have bagels with peanut butter, banana and some honey on. Classic. Before, all that stuff. And for some reason, this goes a little bit against the grain, but the dinner that I'd landed on that I was going to have was actually a chicken curry.
Wild.
Yeah.
You told me about this. You're like, I'm going to have a curry tonight. And I was like, I thought you were joking. No, I think it would be good. It's like, a curry?
Yeah. I did it a couple of times in training.
A mild one?
Oh, it's korma. As mild as it got. Right. It's about half a pint of yogurt in there.
Right. Oh, so you made it at home, you didn't order it in?
No.
Okay, different. Okay, fine.
Yeah, no.
I thought you'd gone naan bread.
That would have been amazing.
Poppadoms. Like a sloppy curry full of oil.
Sag paneer. No, it was a very mild basic
okay,
one.
Okay, fine.
It was basically curry flavoured rice.
Yeah.
And that's because rice is just, you know, it's good for me.
Good starchy carb.
Exactly.
Blocks the canals.
Well and truly, still blocked. but it did the job. So yeah, day before, you try not to do very much. You're going to bed early and had an alarm set for 5 a.m. With a race start time of 10:04. So 5 hours
Jesus.
From waking up. So already, you can't replicate that on training, guys. You're not doing that. So you wake up, try and force a little coffee in, and it's absolutely critical that you manage to go to the toilet beforehand.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I've done that.
Yeah.
But in a, you know, not really. but it's so early. I'm basically jet lagged at this point. I've woken up. I've forced a bagel. And then I'm driving down to Stanmore Station. Then you get on the train and blah, blah, blah. You know, without going past every stop and taking you through all the lines. I get there way too early.
Right.
And that's a shocker. Because it was like 4 degrees. It was sunny, but it was just freezing and really windy. Because Blackheath is just wide open. And I'm there at 8 a.m., 5 to 8, I get to Blackheath.
So Blackheath is where it starts?
That's where it starts, yeah.
Where is Blackheath?
Greenwich, basically.
Ah, yes, of course.
So you get there, and there wasn't even that many people there at that point, obviously. And there's loads of different pens, and you kind of realise the scale of it when you get there. I have to walk, you know, 15 minutes to get to my pen. And then there's nothing to do. You just sit there. For 2 hours trying to do some stretching, eating a bit more food, and I made a lot of a faux pas because I didn't drink any water
in that time,
in that 5 hours. Just had the black coffee beforehand.
It's naive.
It's stupid, isn't it?
Yeah.
So I think about it now, what I actually did is, because you have a race bag that you take to the start line, you dump in the lorries and they take it to the finish line, so you collect that afterwards.
Okay, right.
So all of my water was in the race bag.
Yeah, yeah.
So I had 2 liters ready for when I finished.
Perfect.
But for some reason I didn't drink any before, which is stupid. And then about 45 minutes before it kick off, it starts to get good. You know, all the music's blaring, the classic London Marathon anthem.
Are people talking to each other?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, what are you chatting
really
about?
It's a really good atmosphere.
What are you chatting about?
Oh, it's very noisy.
Yeah?
Yeah, it's all around. Someone said that to me. It's all around pace, which is...
What time are you going for?
Exactly.
What are you...
Yeah, how do you want to get to half marathon?
You know, blah, the pacers?
Blah. Yeah.
Are they like, all 4 minute kilometer people over here?
Yeah, exactly.
It's like that type of thing.
If you want to go sub 3:30, come with me. If you want to go, and they're all in like, so they break it down. So you've got, I was in the green pen, and in that you have 6 waves that go from the green pen. So wave one goes first and it might have 500 people in, and that'll be the quickest time. So there are people that are going between 2:45 and 3:15, for example, although that's what they want to run. Wave two, what I was in, 3:15 to 3:30, whatever. And it goes down like that. And there's different paces in the different pens. But the slowest pacer in my pen was 3:10.
Right.
It was too fast for me, so I couldn't. It was useless. I could have waited to pen three, but I couldn't be bothered to wait. And everyone's chatting to each other. Obviously, it's like a massive charity thing. So I think the pacing stuff is just like a small talk. You know, they've all got that in common. Even people that are like, I want to do it in 5 hours and stuff. And then they get to everyone talking about the charity that they're raising money for. A lot of the charities have their own little corners in the pens as well. So, you know, if you're running for Teenage Cancer Trust, like, you can come and get some water over here and get some jelly babies or whatever. And it is a good atmosphere. People are...
And are people calling you Scott at this point?
No.
Okay, because you do have
that's a good point.
You do have a thing saying Scott on.
So I ran... No, I wasn't named Scott.
Oh.
So everyone just has, like, the number at that point.
Okay, fine.
yeah, so the hard thing is getting your badge at the expo. Then I needed to go as Scott.
Right.
So I had his ID.
Did you?
Nothing like the guy. Yeah.
Scott is a 50-year-old black guy. Hello there, I'm Scott.
Yeah. So when you get there, you're in, you're solid. And yeah, it's a bit weird, really. It's a little bit like a festival.
Right.
A bit of a festival vibe, mainly because you're in a field and there's just fencing everywhere. But even to the point where, you know, when I first got there, obviously 2 hours early, it's empty. As it gets busier, the queues for the toilets are insane. Oh, people are missing their start times because they need the loo, whatever. So naturally people just go, I'm not waiting in line. They start going to the toilet, all on the edge of the fencing, me being one of them. Not the toilet, but going for a wee against a fence and then looking up and it's like, oh, this is it's just a waist high barrier and it's just an open park with families and stuff. And there's hundreds of people just weeing against this open barrier. And you're just like, what are we doing? Like, this is so weird.
And so leading up to the start, are you apprehensive, are you nervous, are you excited? What's the feeling?
Yeah, all of the above. But I think it's so weird because in all the training you run 20 miles or 22 miles and you don't think anything of it. You just, you know, you have a bit of water, you leave the house, you run it and you come back and you're fine. And then as soon as they make a massive thing of it, you know, the music's going, everyone's there, you know, I don't know. Yeah, you do. I wasn't even like that fussed about running a certain time or any of that, but you just get, nervous is probably the wrong word. You're just like, gosh, can we just go now?
Yeah.
Can we just start running? As soon as you start running, you just feel better. Also, everyone's like freezing cold at this point because you had to ditch your jumpers. My pockets are loaded up with gel, salt tablets. It's like, what are we doing? So yeah, then you go. So you kind of pray that everything goes to plan, that your stomach stays together. I do at least. And it did.
So you're running. I was tracking the first half of it and you were on good pace. I think it was an estimated finish time of like 3:15. So quick. Going well.
Mm.
And what were the best parts of the first 20 miles?
That's a good question. I mean, like you said, on for a good pace. So it feels so easy at the beginning because of this, the adrenaline and stuff. So it just feels amazing. You can see everything. You see the people cheering. You're running next to people dressed up.
And are you looking around? Are you just focusing at your feet?
No, like, totally.
Is anyone talking? Or is everyone just like locked in there?
No, not really. Yeah, but you can't really hear much. It's honestly, it's so loud. There's a band or like a DJ every like 200 meters to begin with. All the charities have their own setups, all screaming. It's like carnage. Gets a bit OTT, to be honest, quite early. First 20 miles, the highlights are you leave and you go through like Woolwich, which is a bit of a nothing.
Yeah.
And then you go down a massive hill. The first highlight is Cutty Sark, which is a boat. I don't know the history of it. But that's the first thing where you're like, oh, this is actually fucking mental.
Yeah.
There's thousands of people there. That's a highlight. And then after that is 12 miles, really, which is Tower Bridge. And that is mental. And you really, you're feeling good at that point. And yeah, like I said, you're running next to... So the green pen that I was in is the same pen that all the Guinness World Record breaking attempts.
Now, these are mental. We should talk about these briefly. But what was around you? What costumes and world records are happening?
So... So I started and I was next to a Rubik's Cube, just a bloke dressed as a Rubik's in a big cool box. The Bone, which is just a big bone, running for bone cancer awareness.
Nice.
There was a guy who started next to me, but he was like basically walking the first, well, he had 6 hours to do as many Rubik's Cubes as he could. And the record was 486. So he was going to try and do more. So not really a running race.
What the fuck is that all about?
He's more just doing a puzzle multiple times whilst covering the distance. I had a very impressive guy dressed as a mountain. And I could hear him coming behind me. It was itching like, vroom, vroom, and he went straight, but fuck, it's so quick. Very impressive. And then there was a guy who was carrying a bike the whole way on his shoulder.
Right.
And they all dusted me. Like pretty early on, and I was feeling good, you know, running 3:15 pace, which was probably too quick in hindsight. And they're all like out of sight pretty early on.
What kind of bike did he have?
Like a road bike, literally like our road bikes we got. Yeah, red road bike.
Is it like strapped to him, or is he literally carrying it?
Carrying it, and then he'd do like 100 meters, then he'd swap arms.
Oh my god!
Swap arms, yeah.
What the fuck is that about?
It was absolutely ridiculous.
So we were looking at some of these world records before recording this, and I mean, come on, some of these are mental.
There are some insane ones.
There's a long list, and it's like the first person to run the London Marathon dressed as a mollusk. The first person
that's one of the best, isn't it?
To run the London Marathon dressed as in football kit. It's like football kit.
I know.
It's basically running kit.
I've got the list up here. Just to name a few, there's some ridiculous ones. Right, let's go with fastest marathon dressed as a tub or jar.
Yep.
It's like, what?
Well, on tick. Like, that's yours. That's your record.
Yeah, right.
Take that off the
table.
Does
that count? Fastest person dressed as a badminton player.
Right. So it's the fastest. So I could go and run it faster than that badminton player, and then I would take that record.
Totally,
from them.
Exactly. So they won't have that forever, yeah.
Right.
And those ones, they'll actually be weirdly fast. Mm. I think I said to you, there was a guy, basically looked exactly like me, but had a tennis racket.
Yeah.
And a tennis ball. And with a official Guinness World Record sticker on his back, going for the fastest man dressed as a tennis player.
Bizarre.
And it's a bit of a strange setup.
Is it easier to get in if you do that shit? Is it like a bit of a loop? Is it like a loophole?
Yeah, that's a good point. They all seem to be doing it for charity, so I don't know if they go that route.
Right.
And then it helps them raise loads of money or something as well. But we in my pen, there was the first ever team of 10 running in like a London bus.
Right, outfit. Right.
So I think you can literally make up whatever you want. Go on a full motorcycle outfit. Right. Leathers and everything, helmet.
Oh, God.
It's just like...
Jesus.
Yeah, it's like Sting. Is his name Sting?
Stig.
Stig.
What, Sting the rock star?
Sting and the police.
Roxanne.
Stig.
It's like the first...
Fuck, why am I so bad at this?
The first person called Sting to ever run the marathon.
Yeah, so it's a bit weird. Some of them are amazing. You know, guy next to me on the start line is a ninja. It's just... I don't know, you're just running it, aren't you, then?
Yeah. I mean... You get a little certificate in the office, don't you?
Yeah, exactly. But that definitely made it fun. And you get, when you run with those people, you hear, you know, they get a lot of cheering. And I didn't have any name on me, obviously, because I'm not Scott. So I didn't receive a... this is quite interesting, actually, and quite sad.
Mm.
But I didn't receive a single cheer.
Go on, Anon.
No, but like, it's deeper.
How
actually.
Do you know?
It's deeper. No, it's deeper than that. It's quite sad. So, right, the London Marathon, the entire event is based around support, and family, and friends, right? Not a single supporter, like, solo.
Well, Elle was just like, I can't be asked, right?
No one. People ask me, who have you got coming down? No one. Zero human beings.
Not one human knows who I am.
Not a friend who live in London, like 30 metres away from the start line. Or
nothing. So you didn't hear your name once for
not,
half
a Not once. I heard James, because I ran next to a boy called James and I sat with him just to make myself feel better. But who are you meeting at the end? Honestly, guys, stop asking me. No one.
It's sad. I'm gonna get a McFlurry and I'm gonna make my way home.
I'm gonna drive down by myself. I'm gonna run a race. Gonna put myself in a complete box for no one, and I'm gonna drive home. And that's how it went.
Wow.
I know. And I thought, you know, that's good for the AMCC.
It must be.
That's good. That's a resilience builder. Because all these people, look at what the love everyone's getting cheered for. Oh, amazing.
I'm a lone wolf. I'm a lone wolf.
Didn't run it for charity.
No, fuck charity.
Nothing. I just...
Oh, charity. No, I'm here on my own just, and I'm doing it for myself.
Exactly. Just a strange man who's not Scott running by himself. Very weird experience. But yes. Yeah, so maybe that... There's probably a world record in that. The only bloke to do it with not a single fan.
Yeah, the loneliest man. Yeah, the fastest loner to ever run the London Marathon.
Oh, God. Yeah, it felt like that.
Yeah, so, yeah, good. Well, so you're out there on your own. You're battling your demons. And then you get to mile 19.
Yes.
And then your world goes black.
Yeah. yeah, pretty much. Literally... in a tunnel around that time. And it was weird because I've only obviously got two others to compare it to. The first London, it seems like was a bit of a miracle.
Yeah, the first London was the best day of my life.
Pure Hail Mary. Amsterdam was a slow decline, a messy decline that started at about 16 miles and was stupid. This was a weird one of, as you said, 19 miles and it was like falling off a cliff. It just... nothing I could do about it. It went from being easy and enjoyable, obviously in hindsight, probably running too fast, to just nothing.
Yeah.
A double calf cramp, like cramp in both calves at the same time, like I got shot in the back.
Oh, God.
And that was like the first sign for my body to be like, this isn't going to go well. Mm. So I've still got 7.2 miles to go. It was right by the mile 19 marker. When you get that far, you're like... you know, I've put a bloody good dent in this. And you start going, right, trying to do the maths as you do, 3:20, even if I could drop down to 8 30-minute miles, I can do this. And then it was all of a sudden, it's like, fucking hell, 7 miles long.
This is what I've never quite understood with marathon training. And it just seems to be the same for everyone. So, I'm doing my final long run today. How far are you running? 20 miles.
Yeah.
It's almost like people forget how far 6.2 miles truly is.
Yeah, exactly.
It's a really long way.
Yep.
And you're just always leaving that up to the gods.
Exactly. And it's not even just 6.2. It's 6.2 with 20 miles in your legs.
Yeah.
And being completely fatigued and like trying to survive on these stupid little gels.
Yeah, they're bad.
And
for
that little
guys.
Water. Yeah, exactly. I can tell you now they don't work. They don't prop you up. That's for sure. But yeah, I mean, the way they do it, if you do it properly... and without boring people, I like shortcutted the training massively. So I did 2 20-mile training runs, but I didn't do anything really around that. Mm. So apparently, speaking to people afterwards, like you build the volume in your legs by doing like long weeks. So you're supposed to run like 60-mile weeks.
Yeah.
And I was doing like 23-mile weeks, a couple of times, but being like, oh, I felt right on the 20-miler. And when I did the 20-mile training runs, they were slow. Versus doing it at marathon pace. So apparently it was blindingly obvious that I was going to blow up at 19 miles, but not to me. But I think you're right. It does seem mental that everyone gets to 20, 21 miles and that's the peak of their training and then wonders why, those last 5-6 miles are so hard. So it's because you never run that far before.
I don't know, it's a long way to train, but you've got to run that far.
Yeah,
so
exactly.
Surely you wouldn't train for a 10K and only run 6.
Exactly. Yeah, you do the opposite. Yeah. With training for a 10K, you run like 15K. Mm. Yeah, it's weird.
So 19 miles, everything starts to fall apart. The body starts to go into lockdown.
And the pandemic
your pace drops. And I remember looking and it was like, Manny was like, how's he getting on? It's like, he has slowed down. he seems to have slowed. He's been hit by a car.
Yeah.
So you drag yourself the final 7 miles. You get to the mall. You see the finish line. what is the next 20 minutes from that point?
So, right. So just from when the, like, you fall off a cliff, firstly, it's worth saying that at that point, the thousands of people lining the streets are fucking annoying because you can't get away from it.
And they're so, not cheering for you.
Yeah. So then you stop to stretch and people are going, come on, mate. Come on, pick yourself up, run. And it's like, I'm
fuck
literally,
God,
yeah,
about you.
I'm like all over the shop. So yeah, those last few miles are obviously terrible and you're going at your max speed, which is pathetic. And then cross the finish line. And again, this was a bit different because Amsterdam, crossed the finish line and really I was all right. And obviously I had a shocker, but wasn't bad. London the first time I was fine. This time I was like, I could barely walk after the finish line. I was like, where's the water? Basically, where's my bag with all my water?
Está el agua?
Where's
my stuff?
Yeah, where's everything?
Where's my friends?
You got to go like through the medals all the way up there. And I couldn't make it. So I just took the medal and walked to the side and just lie down in the middle of everyone. People were just like, is everything all right? I just couldn't move. Half an hour I lied there. And I was like, I had to lie down because I was going to faint. It was one of them. It was itch like super lightheaded. I was like grey. People offering me like Percy Pigs. And
I love that you're just on your own.
Yeah, yeah.
Not a soul to help
not
you.
Not a soul. It's just like, can we call someone? It's like, wouldn't have thought so.
No, she won't come.
Yeah, and then obviously, do you want help? And like what they do is if you go to the medical tent, is they take your number and right. They'll call out like, your emergency contact. Don't know who Scott's emergency contact is.
So I start ringing, it's just your mobile.
Yeah. So I'm on my own. Yeah, it's like, hello.
Hello there, Jane speaking.
There's another fucking great part of this is, so there's all these screens around the race course that people can, obviously they track you. Mm. It's really well done, but you can send emails and messages that cost like £1 to go. And then when you're running up to the screen, a message will come up.
Smart.
And it would say, you know, go James, blah, blah. And then you'd get an email for it as well. So old Scott has got about 5 emails from Elle.
Shut up.
Who's messaged the board. Oh, I've not seen any of them on the day. And yeah, she's saying, come on, you're doing so well, blah, all this sort of stuff. And they've all just gone to his email address.
Brilliant.
Amazing. So yeah, they're like, I don't move for ages. Some like people are just being so nice, obviously. I'm like, has anyone got a coat? People are like, no. Do you want a Lucozade? I was like, no, can't have any more of that. And then I just had to pick myself up and, you know, get back to the tube, walk the long way around to Westminster Tube Station. It was shut.
Perfect.
Then I had to walk back to Charing Cross. That took about an hour because there were about 100,000 people there at that point. Everyone's finishing. Oh, it was bleak. It was really, really bleak. But good day, guys.
Yeah, sounds it.
Good day, all in. And then, yeah, it was like when I was lying down at that point, I realised that my like toenails were coming off and all sorts. I was like, what am I doing? It's like, maybe I'm just not run marathons. Maybe I should just actually run as fast as I think I should. But yeah, it's all good stuff. Signed up straight away in the ballot for next year.
Have you actually?
I won't get in, so I'll probably end up running under Jamal next year or something. whoever else gets injured.
Is there a Shaniqua here?
Just whoever, like, for some reason, it is one of those things. I'd said, I mean, again, in hindsight, the first time I did London, it was obviously amazing. And I said to myself, so if I ever get an opportunity to run London again, I'm definitely going to do it. Yeah. It's like the best day ever. I don't know if that still stands.
I don't know how I feel about that.
Yeah, so stop. Just run it under your own name. It'd be much fun. Much more fun. But yeah, it's all good stuff. Broken man now. I've got to pull myself together in 12 days because we've got High Rocks, haven't we?
Fuck's sake. I'm livid about this High Rocks thing. I'm livid about it. Oh, I don't want to do it.
But you know, at least I've got a bit of time in the gym. I can watch my eating. I can be a bit chilled about it. You have a hell of a next sort of 7-8 days lined up.
I'm going on a warm weather training camp to Mexico tomorrow morning. Oh, fucking hell. I'm going to come back 8 kilos heavier.
On your honeymoon?
Yeah.
That is amazing.
I'm going to be so... Oh, my God. I'm going to be in the worst shape of my life.
At least you should be tanned.
No, I won't. It's not long enough. I'll be red. Little red, podgy, peeling, unfit,
peeling.
Wheelie bin of a bloke.
just dragging himself
rocking
around
to High Rocks, sulking.
jet lag
to shit. Just got off a flight. It's like the like 2 days after I get back.
Oh yes, it is, isn't it?
Yeah, so gonna be jet lagged. 11-hour flight in the legs. 4,000 tacos consumed.
Yeah.
180 margaritas.
God.
I might run 100 meters on the beach.
Perfect.
To get an ice cream.
Perfect. Yeah. Perfect prep.
Yeah.
For
I'm gonna be an absolute shambles. So.
I've got no idea what to expect.
It's just gonna be horrible, isn't it?
It's gonna be full of like.
It's not even
gym blokes. Gym.
Yeah.
Rats.
It's gonna be full of big rigs. It's gonna be full of women who could beat the shit out of both of us.
Yep. That's fine.
It's not even the pushing and the pulling and the lifting that I'm. Well, it's the fucking running is gonna kill me.
Yeah.
It's going to absolutely end me.
I said to you tonight earlier, I spoke to someone yesterday who did London Marathon and all this stuff and has done High Rocks multiple times, and they're doing High Rocks again, and they said, oh, it's all right. It's basically just a glorified running race.
Perfect.
It's things in between.
That is awesome news. I have really... All those sets of bench press have really fucking got me set up for that. Brilliant.
But it'll be fun, hopefully.
Yeah.
But it's just, that's just a box tick, isn't it, I think?
Yeah.
And then the big one for us is I still need to learn to swim.
This swimming thing is...
that's a scary one.
I'm beginning to become quite dubious about this. I can't get the hang of it.
No, me neither.
I can't. It's not coming naturally at all.
I think we'll be all right when we get in the open water. And you can do a bit of that in Mexico.
Yeah, there are sharks.
Oh, yeah, good point.
Too dangerous, won't do it. Yeah, shark attacks happen in less than 2 foot of water, so I wouldn't have thought so. I think that's going to be worse, though, because I'm struggling in a heated pool where you can see the bottom.
Mm.
Murky, muddy, cold, windy, wavy, scary water.
Fuck, I've just had a realisation. The amount of time that it took me on Sunday is what it's going to take us to swim. Fuck.
It's not possible.
It's going to be well over 3 hours.
I can't float for that long.
Float?
That's what it's going to end up being, just floating.
Oh, God.
The tide's going to change by the time I finish.
Yeah, that's such a good point.
Every 4 hours. Fuck. Well, you're fucked then, aren't you? You basically have to finish it in 4 hours, otherwise you're not finishing.
Yeah. I'll completely perish before 4 hours of swimming. Yeah.
There's a heart, yeah. I mean, I guess it's the point of it. There's a very high chance of failure on this one.
Yeah, it's a big. That is a big challenge. That's what I am looking forward to.
I hope their safety protocols are absolutely on point.
Top draw.
I'm going to drag.
We don't want to find ourselves on the front page of the paper.
I'm going to drag someone out of a kayak.
Yeah, exactly. It's every man for himself.
Yeah, it truly is.
Yeah, that'll be hard.
Bugger.
For sure. I think going to try and just swim all summer.
Yeah, but it's not fun. it's one of those training. You know, like if you go to the gym, you know, you just get it done and you're like, oh, yeah, like it's fine. I'll have a sauna after. So, like whenever I turn up to go swimming, I'm like, oh, my God, I can't be fucked with this.
Mm.
There is a real, like, it is a taxing thing to go and just be like, I'm going to go for a swim.
Yeah, I do know what you mean.
Yeah, some big things need to happen in that arena for this to become normal. Yeah.
We'll get High Rocks out of the way,
yeah,
and then we'll just become elite fish.
Okay.
Beer will taste good after 10K of swimming, won't it?
Yeah.
I think. Probably tastes like river water.
Yeah, it's probably going to be full of seaweed and horseshit. Horseshit? Seahorseshit?
Rocking horse shit.
There's some good boozes in Dartmouth, though. So
good stuff.
We'll tuck right in.
That'd be bloody well.
All my family like, oh yeah, we'll all come down. No. I'm afraid this is a closed event.
This is strictly business.
This is a closed event.
We might need them to drag us out of the water. They can be our private support.
Yeah. Fuck.
And then in other news,
ooh,
we have been. We've got to be careful that we don't just say this every other week when we speak on the podcast.
It's going to be the case for a while.
But we have been deep in the R&D lab. We have been researching. We've been in the blogs. We've been little blog boys. We've been in the Reddit forums. We are really seriously looking at our next big, big adventure.
Mm.
And the feedback's been mixed.
Yep.
So far, in terms
mixed as in not like other that shit, Mixed, as in, might not be possible.
Yeah, is it possible? Yeah, that's a good distinction to be fair. Oh, that's a shit adventure. Yeah,
that's terrible. So we're going to carry on.
Yeah, no, it's mixed as in, yeah, the possibility of it. And it feels like it's definitely going to be the most challenging thing we've ever done.
It looks like it on paper, doesn't it?
Yes. And the skills required, the logistics required, the time involved.
Have you mapped it out to L yet?
No, God no.
Not even a mention of it?
Oh, no, I've mentioned it. Okay. I've mentioned it, but I think I've massively downplayed it. I have massively downplayed it. Got to bring her on the journey.
Yeah.
Not the actual physical journey, but...
No, God no.
No, I mean, you know. But I said, you know, put that out there, float it. Terrible idea in hindsight. I'm terrible at communicating in general and have not been good when it comes to any adventure. So I'm trying to work on it. But what I did is I mentioned it and then she was obviously like, well, going to need more info for that. And then I said, well, I haven't got any.
So there.
If and when I find out, you'll be the first to know.
You'll be the first to know. I'll be sure to drop you an email.
So I shouldn't have shared when I did. But I said, you know, like all the other ones, the more you know, the more at ease you are. And this is a, you know, this is, a, I think also, I think you're the same, but she's also keen for us to do something epic.
Mm.
And it obviously has become part of, it's what we talk about, it's part of who we are. So you've got to do, you know, we've got to do stuff. You can't just, you can't get by on Hyroxes.
No. Fuck no. Especially when you're shit at them.
Guys, our new adventure is another Hyrox.
Yeah, look, we're mediocre, all these things that loads of...
Yeah, exactly. That everyone does. Look, I'm average at marathon running. I'm average Hyroxer. Yeah, exactly. We can't swim. Yeah, we can't swim. It's like, you guys are shit. So this is... this is our next big thing. And we do use the... As basic as it seems, want to be able to, you know, be able to share it in a sentence and capture people's imagination, like, you know, rowing the Atlantic does or climbing El Capitan.
Yeah,
it's on that same level, at the very least. So yeah, it's exciting, and yeah, I mean, what are the next steps? We've been speaking to some very legit experts. And some not so legit experts as well about like the process of learning and everything. So, yeah, it's a multiple year project. It will cost.
That's going to cost an absolute fortune.
Which is obviously a massive consideration for
a fortune.
How we raise that. I could buy a really nice house with the cost of it. We'd probably struggle to raise the money for a house.
Yeah. So our next adventure is a reno project.
So, wow, you guys completely rebranded.
Come with us to do a renovation.
Look, we've got no experience in renovation.
Yeah, look, the guy's doing the DIY.
Yeah, we tried that once in your old house. I did gnaw very well.
I had to pay someone.
So yeah, you know, for fear of saying it again, but watch this space, everyone.
Yeah. But there is something in the notebooks. We are pursuing it, exploring it. But yet to know whether it is doable. But there is, even if the full thing isn't doable, there is a, I wouldn't call it a light version.
No.
It's kind of downplaying it. But there is a possibility of doing it in a slightly different way.
Any of the versions are
big.
Biggest thing we've ever done.
Yeah.
Like
it's going to take ages. We're going to get in so much trouble.
Yeah, exactly. So yeah,
like we're talking months. We are going to be gone for months.
We might be into a year. It's
we are going to get absolutely bollocks.
Yeah, it's going to be.
Oh no,
it's going to be a tough sell. But yeah, you heard it here first, guys.
Yeah, we are running Africa and Europe
and Asia
No,
we are. We'll keep you posted, though.
Yeah, we will. You'll be first to know after L.
then Manny's third.
Yeah, Manny's
third tonight.
Yeah.
Right, so the our next podcast will be after
Mexico,
your honeymoon,
and after Hyrox,
and we'll look forward to
Shit.
Yes, it will be. Will it be?
Don't know. No, maybe not.
Might be just before.
Okay. Oh, God.
So you can look forward to hearing more about HYROX.
Yeah.
On the next podcast.
What a build-up.
But we'll break down what we've done with the marathon, the way we broke that down. We'll do the same with your Mexico honeymoon.
Perfect.
I'm going to need to hear about the dishes, the food, the pools,
okay.
The spa.
Okay.
Okay, great stuff. Well, thank you for listening, everyone.
Yeah, have a great week.
It's been a pleasure.
Bye.
Bye-bye.